This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne here at KYKN 1430. And when we talk about things that relate to the Willamette Valley, to Salem and Kaiser, local talk radio every weekday at noon to 1. Welcome. We talk about individuals and ideas and institutions. And today we're going to talk about events and certainly a local character and a local individual of interest. And you know what? It's another fabulous Willamette Valley day.
It is.
Isn't it? Yeah. I'm going to say that like every day despite the weather. It could be 29 degrees. It could be pouring rain. But it's a fabulous place to live. And there's, you know, more than ever, there's so many things going on. So I was at the home show. So much to see and so much to do. Learned a lot of things. Did you have an opportunity to go, Dave?
I did not.
So I learned about some well stuff and some greenhouse. Yeah. Greenhouse stuff. I learned about water filtration systems, all sorts of stuff. So if you missed it in January, be sure to hit it up in March. March, there'll be a home and garden show that takes two buildings out there at the fairgrounds. And it's put on by the local Home Builders Association. And, man, it's quite a field trip. It's just about everything having to do with the home and fixing it, improving it, systems.
That's because you're building gardening. A new home, right?
Well, yeah, but I go anyway. I usually go anyway. It's just it might be something, well, you find out what you can do with your patio. You find out, you know, how to replace the railings on your deck. Or you find out what to plant when and things like that. There's a lot of great, great vendors out there. So anyway, we got another event coming up in the Mid-Valley this weekend, actually. Going to be able to read my own notes so I don't. But we have the winter, the Lynn County. It's at Lynn County Fair and Expo Center. It's the Winter Rod and Speed Show. Winter Rod and Speed Show. And we're going to talk about that coming up during the hour. With us in studio, we have Alan Paradise, actually. And he's going to be appearing at the Rod and Speed Show. And he he lives right here in Salem with us. And he's got family here. He's got a son that teaches in the area. And he is a writer. He is a writer, screenwriter, producer. Car dude extraordinaire. Is that like one of your titles? Welcome to the studio, Alan.
Car dude extraordinaire.
Yeah,
can we put that on a business card? I'm going to put it on a card now. That's a good one.
Just added to the long list of on the card.
I thought very hard there for about a millisecond and a half. And I'm like, what do we call his extraordinary history with cars? And we do in America. We live in a car culture, right?
Oh, absolutely do.
Some people hate the fact that we do and wish we would all get on the bike, but we do.
Well, I think all the people that wish we would get on the bike probably have a car or two. I'm going to say it's hard to live without it.
Yeah.
And for me, it would be impossible to live without.
Yeah, and it's one of these things, and not to veer off too much, but a lot of people that say, well, Europe does this. Well, Europe was laid out before the automobile, right? And America is largely laid out with the automobile in mind, and it's not just... Oh, we just made a different choice. It was a completely different era. You go to Copenhagen and it is, you know, you got narrow streets and lots of bikes and this and that, but it wasn't built for the automobile, right? So in America, absolutely, especially out west.
In Los Angeles, there's an entire museum dedicated to just about automotive culture in Southern California. It's called the Peterson Automotive Museum, and that's their whole theme is how the automobile influenced the West.
Very interesting. All right, this is Alan Paradise. He's in studio with us here at KYK and Newsmakers. And you're going to be signing some posters at the show this weekend. But let's talk a little bit about you and let the audience get to know you a little bit. So you wrote a screenplay. How many screenplays have you written, I guess I should say?
A dozen. But the one that's of interest to the people going to the show is a movie called called Snake and Mongoose. And if you don't know just by the name Snake and Mongoose that we're talking about, Don the Snake Perdome, Tom the Mongoose McEwen, the most famous drag racers of all time. And this is the story of their life and how they started when they were, you know, very young, in their early 20s, late teens, early 20s. And the story goes from spans the distance from 1959 through 1978, when they had the most famous and memorable race in drag racing history at the U.S. Nationals in 1978. But the real exciting part is almost everyone of the era knows them either by the track, and if they didn't, they knew them by the Hot Wheels cars, because they were the ones that came up with the idea of partnering with Mattel to bring non-endemic sponsors into motorsports, and everything changed after that. NASCAR is what it is a lot because of non-endemic sponsorship, and it all started with drag racing, this very rudimentary, very grassroots sport. With Don Prudhomme, Tom McEwen.
All right, so you wrote a screenplay about their life and their story,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to see it, how would I see it?
Well, now it's on DVD and Blu-ray. It was in theaters for a while and made a run, and then went to DVD, Blu-ray, and it's also, I think, I just noticed this on, I have, you know, Xfinity, and I just voiced it into my remote, and it came up.
Wow.
With an option to
pay-per-view.
To view
it. Yeah. So you can pay-per-view it if you're a Comcast customer, or it was available on Amazon or Netflix or something. One of those.
Absolutely. You can. I've seen it on Amazon, eBay.
Well, that's has it. That's great. So how did you, tell us a little bit about your history and how you got so involved and so knowledgeable about drag racing and cars in general?
Well, of course, I grew up in Southern California, in San Diego area.
Listening to the Beach Boys?
Listening to the Beach Boys,
okay. And,
which later I've had an opportunity to talk to the surviving Beach Boys for another project I'm working on called Cars and Guitars. It's a television show that chronicles how those songs were created and how the songs are still being created. There was a time period when you couldn't turn on a radio in the 60s without hearing a car song. So that's that. But anyway, yes, growing up with the Beach Boys, growing up with muscle cars that were about everywhere. Mm-hmm. Just the street alone that I grew up on, I remember there was a Hemi Coronet, there was a 409 Impala SS, a couple of Nomads, high-performance Shelby Mustangs. And these were just people buying cars and building cars right there on that particular neighborhood, but it was everywhere.
Yeah, they modified cars a lot in those days. It seems like it was easier to modify. They weren't as complex as a modern car in that regard. Do you think that activity, that culture, is it stronger now than it was before, or is not as prevalent as it was before?
Well, it's different than it was before, obviously. I was surprised. We've been up here a little over a year, and how vibrant and robust the car community, particularly in this area, is. During the summer, when the cars started coming out, I got a chance to went to a number of shows, and actually, we have a car that belongs in this community. In fact, it was never been out of the family. It was purchased new by my in-laws in 1967 and stayed in the family ever since. And that's actually how I got hooked up with this event, is I went to a show, had the car there, the promoter of the event. We started talking, and he realized, he recognized, I don't know how, but he recognized the name as from Snake and Mongoose. And we started talking, and that's how this whole thing kind of got going. But prior to that, I was a magazine editor for many, many years, working on some of the most, some very nice enthusiast titles. They weren't the buff books like Road and Track or Car and Driver, but they were, magazines like Street Rodder and Hot Rod and Truckin'. And all of you can blame me for this. I probably created the import performance market space when I created Sport Compact Car Magazine and then went on to create a couple others, HCI and Tuner Shop and so on. And
holy cow, you're going right over my head.
I
feel inadequate.
That's a lot of magazines.
I feel inadequate to even talk. I'm so unfamiliar with the world, and those publications, and even the index you referenced. I don't even know what that is. Explain what that is.
What the?
You said the import.
Oh, the import performance market. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the guys that modify Hondas and Acuras, okay. and you know, Neons and Miatas to that extent and whatnot. So, you know, that was a very, very hot market for about 3 years, and it spawned movies, the idea of The Fast and the Furious, and then that whole thing went spun out of control, but still making millions of dollars or billions of dollars. But that's why they
worldwide.
Keep making those movies.
Yeah. Well, that whole culture of street racing and modifications and hot rod creations, it's not like that didn't come from something real, right?
Well, it absolutely did. And it was great in the growing up, when I grew up, you know, it was still in its infancy, so to speak. The hot rodders had begun in the 40s and 50s, which was prior to my existence. But then in the 60s and the 70s, I remember in the 70s when the gas was up to 69 cents a gallon and Ooh. Everyone was freaking out. You could buy a Hemi Cuda for $2,500 because nobody wanted them at that point. They were just trying to get rid of them. And as kids, at high school kids, we could get into them for basically nothing. And it resurrected in the next generation of cruisers and street racers.
Okay, you got to stop using words like Hemi Cuda, because I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm assuming that's a Hemi engine in a Barracuda,
yes.
Right? So sometimes we have government people on the show.
You are correct, Brad.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not entirely ignorant and not entirely going to catch it on. All right, we're going to break right here real quick. We're talking to Alan Paradise, car dude extraordinaire and a writer, screenwriter, writer for television, some pilots going on. We're going to learn about what pilots you have in the works, a little bit more about the movies you've written, and also, of course, talk about the Winter Rod and Speed Show coming up in Albany this weekend. And you're going to be there. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne here at KYKN and Newsmakers at the noon hour. And we're talking about cars. We're talking about the Winter Rod and Speed Show in Albany this weekend. This is an indoor car show. And you were talking during one of our breaks about that's kind of a dying breed in Southern California. It used to be all the time. I mean, this is an opportunity. Would somebody want to go if they were not a car enthusiast or a hot rodder history buff?
What would
they find there?
Well, I would think so. I think the exciting part about an indoor car show, and yes, they were very prevalent in Southern California for decades, but being the weather as it is down there, you can really drive your car all the time, mm-hmm. year round.
Oh,
it really doesn't
okay.
matter. And the indoor car shows were really that thing that came on in the fall and the winter, early spring, when all these cars were hibernating. And you'd get done and you'd build the car during the summer and during the early fall, and then you buff it and polish it and do all the final touches to it in anticipation of the indoor car shows. Mm. And only the best of the best usually showed up, were usually allowed to be in. And today, that is gone in Southern California, but thankfully it's still up here because it is a unique experience. When you go inside and these cars look like they've been haven't been touched by human hands, they're perfect. And the creativity, and just if you just enjoy art, mm-hmm. you can look at it as automotive. It's rolling art. The paint, the use of materials, the creativity, the individuality of the cars makes it all unique. And the fact when you go to a show like this and there's a selected number of cars, that it's almost like you got to qualify to be there, and it's the best of the best. It's like everyone is different. It's not like going to a car lot where you, mm-hmm. you can pick out the same. You just want to go buy a new Camaro, new yeah. Corvette, new Mustang, and you just choosing a trim model and a color. Every one of these cars is unique and different, and you can stop and look at each one for quite a long time, and you keep discovering things that are new and different.
Are they all vintage or some of them late model?
I'm sure there'll be some late model cars, but a lot of them are vintage. A lot of them are, you know, muscle cars from the 60s and 70s, a lot of race cars, which gives you an opportunity to get up really close and personal with cars that you normally would only see on a track going 200 miles an hour past you. You can really see and appreciate the engineering.
It's a little easier to photograph if it's standing still.
Much right. easier.
All right. We're talking to Alan Paradise, and he's a writer, lives here in the Salem, in Salem, actually. And we were talking earlier about the movie Snake and Mongoose, a movie about some drag race personalities that really changed the industry and changed the toy industry. And gosh, their legacy lasted two full decades almost in terms of their career in drag racing. But also, you have other things going on. You've got some things you've written that are in production or have produced in pilots. So talk a little bit about that, and then we'll give the listener a little bit more information about the Winter Rod and Speed show.
The biggest ones going around right now in the quote-unquote Hollywood area is I wrote a movie called Damsels of Design, and it's about the first women automotive designers, a group of them that were brought into General Motors in the 1950s, early 1950s. Very revolutionary idea, untold story. It's been kind of kept in the shadows of General Motors for since the 50s. But it centers around probably the most powerful man in the automotive industry at the time by the name of Harley Earl. And if you don't know who Harley Earl is, you know what the Corvette is. And the Corvette was one of his last legacies before he retired from General Motors as the vice president of design in 1958. But he was the man that developed such things as the auto show. That will be going on in Portland here shortly.
And he hired the damsels?
He went out and he wanted the brightest, most creative women he could find in design. And none of them had ever worked for an automotive company. Wow. Most of them were straight out of college. And it was a revolutionary concept.
Industrial mechanical design, women in the 50s. That's striking.
Yeah, and most of those iconic colors and combinations and interiors and everything that we have an affinity for the cars from the 50s came from their heads, their minds. And they brought in a lot of revolutionary ideas to the design industry simply because Harley Earl said women are going to have a greater role in major purchases as we move forward after World War II and after the Korean conflict. And he wanted to know what they thought. He wanted to know how to design for them.
Wow.
And the ironic part is when he retired in 1958, shortly thereafter, his successor fired them all.
Wow. Try to get away with that today, huh?
I don't think
they basically came in and said, oh, what a novel idea to have women. You're all gone. Take off.
That was
wow.
So the story is really about them, and it's a great story. It seems like everything I write gets an automotive twist somehow, even if it's not intended to. It gets that. I wrote a screenplay that's being circulated right now, getting a lot of interest, called A Gravel Road. It's actually about three 13-year-old girls in the mid-1970s, coming-of-age type story, life experience type story. And I wrote it about that it all happens in Silverton.
Nice. Maybe we'll get him to film it up here as well, right?
Well, when we're negotiating, and hopefully that will happen, because that would be a wonderful thing. My wife and I have driven up into the area, and when I was writing it, and came up with the visuals of where it would happen and how it would happen. It was really terrific.
All right, so you're going to be, before we go too far afield, actually, and I do want you to talk about Bonsai Runners here in a minute, but you're here because you're going to appear, of course, in the Winter Rod and Speed Show, and when it let everybody know about the event. You're going to be signing posters, right? You said Kenny Youngblood designed them. Is that right? Tell us a little bit about Kenny.
Kenny Youngblood was, again, he was an iconic figure from the Southern California car culture of the 1960s and 70s. If there was a race car, he probably did something to it as far as painting, lettering. In fact, when we were doing Snake and Mongoose, I wrote a scene that an actor portrays him in, just because it's an honor to him for his contributions to that culture of the time. And every racer and every custom car guy, wanted to have Kenny Youngblood on board to do something for him. And he penned a poster for the movie.
Awesome.
And that's what we're going to be signing.
That is terrific. So we're talking about an event at Linn County Fair and Expo Center. It's in Albany. It's this weekend, the 18th and 19th. So you can go Friday on 6 to 10. You can go Saturday 9 to 6. So families, welcome. Be a lot of fun. Go indoors, especially if it's going to be raining and cold. Go indoors and see these incredible vehicles. There's a lot going on. They've got, oh my goodness, they've got cars of all sorts. They've got Motorsports Expo in one room, and they've got a lot of personalities. We have Steve Hamilton. We've got some band, Uncommon Denominators, a model car contest. Sounds like a really fun event. I don't know that I've ever been to one. How about you, Dave?
Oh, all the time.
All the
Come
time.
On now.
Dave's a car guy.
I
you
am.
Probably have not heard it on the air yet, but we're going to out him today because what I lack in car knowledge, he makes up in spades. So
thank you.
Sounds like just the event for Dave Bourne here.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, want to make sure that everybody understands there's always something to do in the Mid-Valley, and this looks like a great option for this weekend since we're a little too cold now to go out and work in our gardens and plant anything new. So see if you can hit up the Winter Rod and Speed Show. All right, we're talking to Alan Paradise. He's a writer. We're going to have to break real quick. When we come back, we're going to hear about a very interesting subject that another thing that he's written for Pilot Bonsai Runners. You up for that?
That's fine.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Linn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hello and welcome back to Newsmakers. There are so many things to talk about today. I can't decide if we should talk more about cars, more about the car show, more about screenplays and pilots, about car people, the car industry, and so forth. But let's get this out. This Winter Rod and Speed Show comes this weekend. You can see the Chevelle from the Lovey Bones movie, Mark Wahlberg, right? It'll be there. You're going to have free hot wheel cars handed out for 100 kids or so that when they get there. And boy, they have restored Indy cars there. The Capital Auto Group, blown alcohol dragster. You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You don't. Okay.
I'm assuming that that's a kind of fuel.
Yes.
I know what a drag car is. And actually, I've seen the vehicle. I've seen Capital Auto Group's vehicle out there. So various things. Tom the Mongoose McEwen. Yeah, pronounce that right. Drag racing legend. The Mongoose is one of the drag racers that was memorialized in your screenplay. And the artist, Kenny Youngblood, has produced that movie poster, and it'll be signed by our guest today, Alan Paradise. So you'll be out there. Will you be out the whole time? Because this is Linn County Expo, right? So it's 18th to 19th, so that'd be Friday and Saturday. Friday during the evening, 6 to 10, and Saturday, 9 to 6. Would be what hours will you be out there? Someone come talk to you.
All I know is that the promoters asked me to be out there at I think we're signing at 7 to 8 or something on a couple sessions on Saturday, but 7 to 8 on Friday, I think, as well. And hopefully they print enough posters. They're pretty cool. I mean, when you get a chance to see it, it's you can go, oh, that's art. I mean, it's Kenny Youngblood art, and that's special all on its own. But the fact that it's Snake and Mongoose makes it even better. Particularly the fact that we lost Tom McEwen in June.
No.
Yeah, okay. And we were very close. We talked, you know, regularly, even after the movie was produced and it was out and everything. Tom and I talked quite often, and we were very close. And I was close with Don Prudhomme too. And Don's still doing well. In fact, Don looks like he could still jump inside of a Top Fuel dragster or a funny car and make a couple runs. He's really in good shape. But it was sad to lose Tom in June. So it makes the movie just that much sweeter that it got produced and got done while he was around. And they were on set almost every day of the movie and making sure that we got all the details right, and we fought very hard for that.
When you're doing a movie about people that are alive, Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, you better get it right.
You think about that, the collaboration with the surviving members of Queen in the biopic that was come out on Freddie Mercury and so forth. And they were not only just consulted, but they were on the set as well. It must be wild to sit there and see an actor portray you, right?
Yeah, they did say that was surreal to when you on set to see two snakes and two mongooses, you know, and the younger set and the older set. And we did work very hard to make sure that the costumes, the wardrobe was as authentic as possible, and the hairdos were right. And you know, during that time, there was a lot of, you know, the afro and, you know, perms and whatnot. It was quite unique. But the actors really kind of portrayed them. In fact, Don at one point, Pranome, said, he was questioning where Jesse Williams, who played him, where he was born and at what time, and he was trying to think back to where he was 9 months before
that. Close to context.
They really looked. Yeah.
All right. So at the show, NHRA World Champion Joey Saverins will be there. So he's going to be signing cards in both days, and also author Jim Lindsay. He's got a couple of books, The Little Bastards and the sequel Swerve. So lots of things to do. I'm trying to destroy the studio here. Sorry. Lots of things to do out there and see and bring the kids. And you have an opportunity to meet Alan Paradise that we have in our studio here today. So you were talking to me about a pilot. It sounded really interesting to me. And if you don't know, a pilot is it's basically the launching point of a television series. They try to sell a concept and produce one. And if a concept has a lot of a lot of following and a lot of support, then they turn it into a TV show, right?
That's correct.
Then hopefully you get to write for an ongoing series, right? But this pilot's called Bonsai Runners. And tell us a little bit about what that's about.
Well, Bonsai Runners is a really cool story. It's like, think of Sons of Anarchy at 200 miles an hour. Basically, it's there was outlaw racing in the late 70s, in the 80s, in Los Angeles. And it didn't involve muscle cars and whatnot because we were in the Detroit dark era then when they were producing, you know, Citations and K cars and
the Mustang too.
And okay, we won't even go there. just, you know, really, really unmuscly cars. Mm-hmm. So these were cars like the like Countach and BB512 Ferraris and Porsche 930s and you know, the exotic sports cars of the time, the dream cars. And it was about a group of outlaw racers that took place from Los Angeles to other points, either west or east, and the whole community around that, the secrecy of it, because it was very, very elite and very, very covert, and you had to be accepted into the program. And this is the pilot. That's what Bonsai Runners, and I may have had some experience doing this, but I'm not really going to admit that. So
I think the statute of limitations has run out.
Maybe
it's California. They'll come find you no matter where you're at. If there's there's a revenue stream involved.
So they're on interstates in Southern California going 200 miles an hour.
Yeah. And we're talking about a time when you didn't have the modern advances in technology that you do now to monitor these things. There were no cameras on the freeways and so on. So it's a very cool story about how this happened. And there's an underlying crime story beneath it. But that's what the story's about. The pilot episode's been written. It's been my agent is working it. And we think it'd be a great thing for like a Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime type of show. Even an FX would deal with it. That did Sons of Anarchy. If they could do that, they could. Bonsai Runners would be probably the next logical step.
Are you? Do you love to watch the shows that are dedicated to automobile? The ones that either fix them up or have a history, or which ones do you like? Which ones do you roll your eyes at?
Okay, this is going to be a little controversial. No, I don't. I don't like watching them because most of them have fabricated drama to it. You know, when you've got a shop that's building $100,000 cars, nobody's throwing wrenches at each other or making up these goofy storylines. They're all fabricated. I do have a television show that's in development right now with the Bonner brothers, the same producers that did The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and other shows. called Cars and Guitars. And it's really the story of how all the car songs got written and produced and enjoyed. We've interviewed, I did a lot of research and interviewed a lot of the musicians of the day, Al Jardine and Brian Wilson and Brian Setzer and Dick Dale and all these guys that are immersed themselves in the car culture and then wrote songs about them. And there are actually songs being written and produced now about cars. It's just not as many of them. But this is the story behind all of those songs, and it's really fascinating when you find out what the motivations were and how they affected people.
All right, Alan Paradise, I'm going to ask this question because someone's screaming at the radio right now. What kind of car do you have, and what kind of car would you like to have?
Okay, right now I have the one car that we have that my wife and I have that's in the stable is a '67 Falcon. It's basically, when you think Falcon, you think of a family car, but this one's a little bit different, a little bit more horsepower. It's basically like taking a GT350 Mustang, a high-performance Mustang of the time. It's 330 horse, and putting a Falcon body on it, because the Falcon and the Mustang actually share the same platform.
Mm-hmm.
They're just different bodies, and the car's been in the family since it was new. It's never left. My in-laws bought the car new, and it's survived to us. Our oldest son drove it to high school. And then when,
wow.
Yeah, then
that's his high school car?
That was his high school car. Not his only one. At the same time, I had anyone who recognizes this, I had a 1970 Cuda, which was the sport model of the Barracuda. It was an absolute beast of a car. And he used to come to me in the morning, "Hey, can I drive the Cuda to school today?" "Oh, yeah, go ahead."
What does that thing sound like when you're fired up?
I don't know, but the whole neighborhood woke up.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was it's very loud. And kind of the Falcon's the same way now. But that's the one car we have in the stable. Now, the one car I would like to have,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've always wanted a 1968-69 Plymouth Roadrunner. And it wouldn't really matter to me whether it was a 383 cubic inch engine or a 440 or a Hemi, 426 Hemi. It didn't matter. It just had to be, it would have to be a four speed. The car I've always wanted, one I've been searching for a while, but always other cars got my attention, and I ended up purchasing other and building other cars than that, but that would be probably the one.
You did say that you've built different kinds of cars, right? And a few different kind of categories. And by that, you mean you got them and you modified them, or just explain what that means. You said it built like a show car.
I've had a couple show cars, like you'll see at the event. This
Are any of those for sale, by the way? We just get to ogle at them. You don't get to buy the cars, right? They don't have a price.
No, but I can guarantee you that there's going to be some that are going to be on that'll be for sale.
Yeah,
yeah, and
there'll be accessories and all sorts of things. I mean, I'm assuming there's vendors and teaching people how to modify their vehicles and things like that, right?
Well, and I think that's one of the great things about going to these kinds of shows is that it gives you ideas of what you might want to do or what you might dream of doing.
Yeah,
that's one of the great parts.
Well, you made me laugh during the break because you said you'd built a couple of show cars.
Yes.
So those are designed to be displayed, and it terrified you to drive them.
Yeah, when you put it's that much time and effort into building a car and making it as perfect as you absolutely can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, paint like glass, chrome, lots of chrome, all shiny. Even the painted surfaces are perfect. You know, hiding the wiring so it looks clean, and then you drive it on the street and. It's you driving is taking some enjoyment in it, but you have no control over the people that are around you. In fact, when you're driving, you have to be careful that people aren't drifting over into you because they're actually looking at you. And as they're looking at you, they're inadvertently steering uh-huh. their car at you.
Uh-huh.
So it is a little nerve-wracking to drive a car when you have that much effort into it.
That is funny. Thank you. We're talking to Alan Paradise. He is a writer of pilots and movies, TV shows, and focuses a lot on cars, the automotive history, automotive power. He's going to be appearing at the Winter Rod and Speed Show in Albany. We're going to be right back to finish up right after this. It's 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and welcome back to Newsmakers. Alan Paradise is with us. It's nice to have a new topic. We've been talking to a lot of politicians. We've been talking about public policy and some of the other events. But we're talking about cars today and the car culture, and Alan is one of those people. He's one of those people that came and invaded our Med Valley because he's from Southern California and been in Southern California a lot of years, in the car culture a lot of years, as an automobile writer, especially as it surrounds hot rods and performance, right?
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So you moved to Salem in the Mid Valley because?
No, the weather.
The
of
weather.
Course. People look at you funny, but in Southern California, you basically have two seasons, spring and summer, and they just keep repeating. There is very little fall, very little winter, very little rain. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that the August before we move up here, my water bill was almost $600.
Holy cow. That Colorado River water is expensive.
We come up, we did some research, and we just love the area. And we've been pleasantly surprised by the car community is as vibrant and as it is and as robust as it is. But the people in general are just so much nicer. They're just a little more relaxed, willing to smile at you. You know.
Did you notice that we drive differently up here?
Yeah. It's like the accelerator's the skinny pedal on the right. It took a while to get into that mode that you don't, you know, again, you're not as rushed or as in a hurry as Southern California. So you savor things a little differently.
And so in Southern California, I have to ask, do people know that the left lane is for passing? That's the fast lane?
Well, that's the
part of Oregon drivers that drive me most crazy.
It's assumed that the left lane is the fast lane, although the California Highway Patrol will tell you there is no such thing as a fast lane. It's definitely protocol is you want to move a little slower and dance with the big rigs. You got to move to the right. But then again, you know, most freeways down there are 4-5 lanes.
Yeah.
And big rigs are restricted. Trucks are restricted to the far two right lanes.
Well, in fairness to Alan, Alan Paradise, who's going to be appearing at the Rod and Speed Show in Albany this weekend and has written a number of pilots, television shows, and movies. You followed your son up here. Your son got a job, and so it's an area, you know, that's almost 30 years ago, I followed my parents who relocated to the area. So I've been here about 30 years, and that happens a lot. But you know what's really great about that story is we in the Mid-Valley, we are always trying to create a quality of life and an economy and opportunities so that when our kids get out of college, they'll come and stay. That they won't say, well, I need to go to Portland. Well, I need to go to a big city. Well, I need to go to a different state. That they want to come back to the Mid-Valley, and they want to live here, and they want to be professionals here. So, yeah, I guess you can stay.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. That's nice. I feel good about that.
We're going to, you know, we're not going to pick at you for being a migrant.
He's a car guy. He can stay.
That's right. He's got Dave's stamp of approval here. So what are you looking forward most of seeing or experiencing at the Winter Rod and Speed Show in Albany?
Well, I'm really looking forward to taking a look at the cars that are kind of kept, you know, in the undercover for quite some time, and how they progressed, and or just the sophistication of those cars. I've been surprised by how the craftsmanship is on a par, if not is as good, if not better, than what I'm used to seeing in Los Angeles and San Diego. So, but again, it's the ownership of the cars, and the people in the community have seemed to get their egos in check much better. They're so nice. That's the most amazing thing that we've noticed is how nice people are.
We're so darn nice up here. And
you guys are pretty nice too.
Yeah, we're all right. Well,
thanks.
That's the one we're on the air. So you mentioned the car culture and individuals are nice, and it doesn't seem to get as much visibility in this area as maybe Southern California does in terms of racing. You have the Woodburn Drag Race strip. You've got Portland International Raceway and things like that. But it doesn't seem to draw as much attention unless it's just under the radar for me. What your thoughts on that?
Well, understand this. When the movie Snake and Mongoose, it was really about Southern California. A lot of it was about projecting the Southern California racing community onto the world. But back then, we had dozens of drag strips and many, many raceways. There are none now down there. There is California Speedway, which gets about four races a year, mostly stock cars and open wheel. But there are no drag strips with the exception of Pomona Fairgrounds, which runs maybe two events a year. And then if the next one you have to go to is in Bakersfield, which is ironically where we shot a lot of Snake and Mongoose, was at the drag strip in Bakersfield because it looks so vintage still. But up here, there's actually more racing and participation because there's actually places to race. Where in Southern California, you have to go 2.5 hours over the grapevine to go serious drag racing.
All right. I have never been to a drag race. Describe for me something about the vehicles, about the experience that makes you have to go.
Okay, I'll tell you this real quick. And again, it's centered around the movie Snake and Mongoose. When we were shooting, the first 2 weeks of shooting, we were not shooting, not one car was fired up or running because they were all interior shots, establishing shots, shots in shops and offices and things like that. We got the whole crew to Bakersfield to shoot for a week. And in the second day of shooting, the first car fired up. And this is unbridled horsepower. We're talking 1,000-plus horsepower firing up. The moment that first car started up, first dragster started up, there was a dead quiet and motionless among the crew who had never experienced that kind of noise before. It's almost like the hair on your arms stand up. Even before you hear it, it gets that way. They were in awe, and they understood at that point what it's like to drive one of these cars. It's got to be crazy. And the danger that was involved in that era, where it was trial and error, and error often could meant death very easily, because a lot of early drag racers did pass away from innovations that didn't work.
How long? We got about a minute left, so I'm going to fire you some questions. How long is that track on drag racing?
It's traditionally 1,320 feet, quarter of a mile. Today, drag racing, professional drag racing, has cut it down to 1,000 feet to try to limit the actual speed because they were reaching 300-plus.
300-plus in a quarter mile.
In 4 seconds.
Whew, Dougie, how many times do they use the tires? They use more than once?
Rarely.
Or you just spread them out?
In fact, nowadays, engines are replaced and rebuilt after every run.
Holy cow.
Back in the day, they weren't.
Where's that all the money coming from?
Sponsorship.
Sponsors. It's still Mattel. Still Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels got out of it, but they still benefit from it.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Alan Paradise. And if you're listening, please try to hit up the Winter Rod and Speed Show this weekend in Albany. This is Brent with Dave on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN Salem's Listening.
This has been Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live local talk that matters to you. From the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.